You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 20. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we just pause to lock on to you and your word, Spirit of God, to help us as we seek to be educated, enlightened, energized, and our God, that we might be more effective. And our Father, we're going to thank you. So deal with us. Thank you again. God, we owe you forever. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, looking at what a fix, and we share together the world system in which we live, is under the God of this world. And if you want to find where he isn't, you'll have to go I don't know where. Because every country, every human, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, all humans apart from the saved are under his domain. So no matter what island, mountain, village, won't make any difference, he's the boss. He's in control. That doesn't mean he's everywhere at all, but his system is darkness, evil, the absence of God everywhere. So when it comes to Israel, Israel isn't a light. It will be after the tribulation, but not a light. So Israel's under the system, and the United States was founded 244 years ago, 1776 or so, and in the process was founded to be a republic, and based on the Judeo-Christian background, and based on that, and then we have our Declaration, our Constitution, which is the based upon resting upon God's word and God, trusting God, looking for God. Now, so apart from that, we're in the whole world. If you're looking for some kind of working everything out, where are you going to find it? Where are you going to find someone else that wants life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Where are you going to go, to what country is going to form a Declaration of Independence, is going to form a constitution like we have? You won't find it. No. And this one's on the way out. Now, and we shared this morning a number of things to keep in mind, because we're trying to be, we need to be wonderfully, wonderfully looking to God, optimistic. But we cannot be wonderfully optimistic under these conditions if we aren't realistic. Realistic to be optimistic. Now, and having said that, so we looked at our little world that we live in a little bit, and just adding to it, if I may, and doing it from a religious position. Now, we already know Protestantism, etc., and we know Islamic and all of that. Now, in the light of another very large group, which is Roman Catholicism. And Roman Catholicism is guided by Rome and all of that, the Pope and all of that. And on October 2nd, 2020, he gave an encyclical letter on fraternity and social friendship, etc. And in the light of that, in the light of the position of the church, let me just run by you. It's a long thing, but just run by you as quick as I can, a sense, and see if it isn't the same thing that we're facing all over the world. Now, it's coming from a religious position. So when it comes to that, the government is the instrument of provision. So what is the answer for the world anywhere? It's government. What do we need? We need government. government is the grand, makes for the grand utopian socialistic scheme. Government does. I'm reading from that, the quote from that. All beliefs, human, all beliefs are the same. We're fellow travelers, all beliefs are the same. We're all brothers and sisters, all. No matter who, we're all humans on the same, in the same lot of, as all of us. The goal is to make a oneness. So the journey for full communion, that's what it's for, to make everyone on the same page, to have it globally. And it's against capitalism. Capitalism is bad, we mentioned that. It's a very selfish thing and individualistic, dog eat dog, we mentioned it this morning, etc. And it isn't interested in the common good. Everyone should have the same, be the same, should not want more than anyone else, should not try to be better than anyone else, should just be the same. And that. It's against capitalism. Socialism, communism, each makes each of those answer the, in the systems, answer the basic needs of humans, and the humans. So humans have needs in all stages of life. Karl Marx, 1855, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Karl Marx. And you know, make everything equal. The good guy helps the guy that isn't, and they make it all even. A world without borders. There must be a world without borders. Borders are bad, bad borders. The right of all. Everyone has the right to find where they want to be, to have what they want to have. And no one should interfere. A one world government, a one world religion, nationalism, selfishness, etc. You got to get rid of that. And to overcome, we got to overcome the nationalism. Nationalism is bad. A republic, we want to be, make our nation great again, etc. So therefore, that's just a little of that big long thing. Lots of paragraphs. It's just like everything else. What's the difference? And that's a religious system. All in cahoots. So here we are. Who's not there? The people, whoever they are, like in our country, we have had the Declaration and Constitution and Republic, and we've had that historically. And so we have some. We have a whole element of humans in our 350 billion or whatever it is, and we have them, 350 billion, and in the process, we have that somewhat. So we have that kind of thing going on. But in the process of all of that, as that goes on, we're looking at the who else wants it? No one. In fact, we're surrounded by everything, darkness, evil, that doesn't want it. So it's disappearing. As we mentioned, our own country is in rapid advance to get rid of it. No question. So, is that normal? No, it's part of the course of history. This little blip, trying to be something, a republic or whatever, lasted for a couple of hundred years, not very long. But hey, it was a little space to let the grace of God be known by missions and everything. Now, having said that, we looked at Timothy and looked at all kinds of things. We looked at Timothy to remind ourselves that it's a terrible time. Nero is persecution's high and heavy. Apostasy is is happening. But back then in 68. Titus is going to come in 2 years later, going to come and destroy this Jerusalem. So Timothy, you better wake up. Wow. life isn't going to be one picnic here, so you need to stay on your toes as it proceeds. So now, here's Jeremiah back in their day, but I'm interested because in fire, what did you say the issue was? 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up, kindle, rekindle, awaken the fire. Stop letting the ash, all you see is ashes in the person's life. And underneath is a little smoke coming up, a little bit of fire down there, but you can't, gotta waken the fire up. Get the fire going. You know, God is a consuming fire. And we shared that. And we shared all of by fire. We're saved as by fire. So, I mean, that's how we're saved. And the fire in your heart keeps everything able to enjoy being saved. Being saved. Otherwise, your old nature wins. So now, getting that clearer. Jeremiah chapter 20. Here's Jeremiah honoring God's word to the people of Israel. People of Israel didn't want to hear it, but he was to be a witness all the way into Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of the city. And in the process, he had to go through the exercise, as all of us do in one form or another, in representing God, representing light in the darkness. Darkness hates light. Darkness hates light. Evil hates good. So there's no, you're going to represent God, then you're going to have problems. And so Jeremiah faced them. Verse 9, then said I will make mention of him no more, because no one wants to hear it, no one wants to understand it, etc., etc., and they only fire back at me. It makes it very miserable trying to live in the darkness as a light, trying to do right in the middle of wrongness when they don't want right. Evil, think of Isaiah 5:20, evil for good, good for evil, darkness for light, light for darkness, etc., bitter for sweet. So therefore, verse 9, I will not speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not overcome God's wonderful grace in my life. I would like to shut up and say, forget it. But God, you don't allow that. No, he didn't allow that at all. And so in the process, he had to keep working. Tie that fire in his heart. What's a fire? Over to chapter 23. And you would recall, in our study of Jeremiah, you recall chapter 23, and picking up, if I may, in verse 29 directly. I'm going to read verse 28 a little bit. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? My word. So God, where the fire, what is this fire? God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. Well, what is it? My word. My word is like a fire. My word, truth, nothing can overcome my word. You'll read that elsewhere. Nothing can overcome my word. So therefore, when I say anything, it's yes and amen. And nothing changes. So no matter what any word is, any thought is, anyone thinks anywhere, in all human thought, Isaiah 55, my words and my thoughts are higher than what? Higher than the heavens. So when God says something, it's it. It's like a fire. What's a fire do? A fire, hot fire. Well, Mary, you remember fires and fires and all that. I remember over here in Cromwell long, many, many years ago, they had a great big department store like Walmart or something, and that got on fire. And when you could go, it was a big fire. And in the process, the fire was so hot, you could see it took the big girders that were on top and twisted them and melted them down. It was so hot. Wow. Wow, fire. Fire. Fire consumes. God's word is a fire. So when whatever we think, anyone thinks, whatever anyone wants, God wins. God's word. So when we let God's word rule in our heart, it consumes. That's what we're doing. Hebrews 2 Corinthians 10. We're casting down every high thought that exalteth itself. We're looking. What God says is what. That's what we're doing. We believe what God said. And when we believe what God said, God is right, and everyone else is going to be wrong. No, everyone's wrong. But, no, it's the way it is. And say, remember Isaiah 40 and that? God hung the circle of the world in space. Now, that was a long time ago. And when the world is flat, we don't want to go. Remember the ships and the maps that were done, and the maps were used to have edges. They didn't know where to put the map because you go off the edge. You remember the maps? You don't know where the edge is. Well, and God said, listen, you don't have to worry. It's a circle. It's a plain old circle. But did anyone pay attention? Yep. And the stars. You would never count them. And this NASA, whatever, just had another thing come out here. And they had 2 trillion galaxies. There's 100 billion stars or so in our little galaxy, stars. These are galaxies. And the new one comes out, well, maybe there aren't 2 trillion. Maybe there aren't 2 trillion galaxies. And then after having said that, then they write, well, we really don't know how many galaxies they are because we can't see them and we can't know them. And everything we think is a star is actually a galaxy out there. So they're all everywhere. So God, if we just paid attention, you win every time, no matter how you want to cut the cookie, you win. So therefore, God, your word, that's right, your word is like a fire. So when we read the word, we adjust ourselves to what it says, and we keep, it consumes. I have a thought that capital punishment is no good. When God says no, capital punishment is what you need to do. So I let God's word adjust my. I have to adjust. I adjust to it. It consumes my thought. I have to go. But it says in 1,000 other ways, you have to keep adjusting to line up with God. Jeremiah chapter 1. Boy, I didn't mean to be so long in that. Wow. It's only 7:15, so. Jeremiah chapter 1, picking up, please, directly in the light for time, verse 17. Therefore, gird up thy loins and rise. This is Jeremiah's commission, his assignment. And speak unto them all that I command thee, my words, like a fire. And be not dismayed at their faces, because they aren't going to receive it, lest I confound thee before them. So just honor my word. What was Jeremiah facing? The people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to think. They didn't want to go along. But God said it's going to be that way anyway. Nebuchadnezzar's coming if you don't fix it. So we don't want to hear it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you don't want to hear it. It's going to be. And Jeremiah, you stick with it. You stick with what I told you. Because that's what's going to be. Therefore, in verse 18, for behold, I have made thee a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. That's everybody. There's nobody there. Jeremiah, where's your friends? We don't read any friends. Ezekiel's been over there in Babylon, etc., etc. Wow. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So God, what are you saying, David? Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, thou art with me. God, that's what you're trying to say to us. That's right. What are you saying to Timothy? Timothy, get the fire going back in your heart. You aren't going to survive. Nero's going to take my head, cut my throat, all gone. all done. And so therefore, you better get on the ball because you're there. Who's going to speak? Somebody better speak up, and you're going to have to survive. And he has to awaken, not to be a coward, afraid. He can't be afraid. You have to go. It's all odds are against you. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and keep in mind, if you would, you remember our Lord, and our Lord went to before his, he's the sheep, the lamb that goes to the slaughter, a lamb as a sheep for the slaughter. Who's that? That's our Lord. He's the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. Now, so God, what did he do? He went. And when he went, everything's against him. They all forsook him. Everything's against him. And there's Pontius Pilate going to speak to him, and the trials, they're going to speak to him. And what are you going to say? He opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He was quiet. Isaiah 53:7. The sheep will not open his mouth. You're going to do what you're going to do, and you have to do what you're going to do, because I'm dying for the sin of the world. And God, you're going to be silent. And remember what he said in the garden to Peter and them. Peter cut off the ear and all of that. And he said to them, to everybody that would listen, that heard him, do you know, he fixed the ear. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels right now if I want to. And there's no one in forever that can stand a chance against them if I want to call them. If I want to win, if I want, but my kingdom is not of this world. So don't be looking for me to save this. Like we used to say over here when the bar room or whatever that was, Red Cafe over here, used to say, God, you can't go in there and tell them, close this thing down. They want to have it, they can have it. It's theirs, it's in their world. And unless it stands in the way of God's will, it can stay there. So now, we don't go in and tell, we aren't trying to change the world. The world's going, and the world, and we're looking at it go. And that's what we're trying to see, realism, so that we can be optimistic, rightly so. So now, having said that little bit, over if you would please to Leviticus. Leviticus in chapter 1. And in Leviticus chapter 1, you will note, In the tabernacle, going to be built, the temple later. Here's the tabernacle going to be built. And in there, what are they going to do? They have an altar, a brazen altar, bronze altar, and they're going to have that altar. And what is the altar for? It's for sacrifice. How do you sacrifice? By fire. By fire. God starts the fire, keep the fire going. And therefore, here we are, the fire. And verse 3, I just want you to pick up what will help us. If this offering, if his offering be a burnt offering, sacrifice, a holocaust, the whole thing of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it on of his own voluntary will. It's a personal thing. You want to get saved? You have to choose to get saved. No one can choose for you. Mom can't choose. Dad can't choose. No one can choose. You have to want to choose. Therefore, he shall offer it of his own will, own voluntary will, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. So he puts his head on the animal, and the animal, he identifies, the animal is in my taking my place and going to the cross. What are we going to do with that burnt offering? We're going to burn the whole thing. We're going to burn the whole thing. That's what we're going to do. Verse 9. But But his inwards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, always fire, of a sweet savor, sweet fragrance unto the Lord. Now God, what are you going to do? What is this doing, the burnt offering? Of all the five offerings, here's the first one, burnt, the burnt offering. And what are we going to do with the burnt offering? What's the whole thing? What are you going to do, Lord, the Lamb of God going to the slaughter? I'm going to go to the whole, to the cross, and my whole body, I'm going to take and hang it on that tree. The whole thing before God. I'm going to die the death that you should be taking. I'm going to die your death on Calvary's cross. That's what I'm going to do. A burnt offering. That's right. It's a sweet savor to God. Remember, we did all these things in the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Before God created anything, it was his plan. His wonderful, wonderful plan for the painting, for the book, etc., etc. Now, having said that little bit, and if in the light of that, think of that altar, and then if you go in, laver, and then you go in east and get into the tabernacle itself, and you're going to find right in front of you, looking at you, is the altar of incense. And on the altar of incense, what are we going to find? Well, the altar of incense in Exodus chapter 30, etc., is going to be what? You're going to have incense sit on there, and the fire, you can't have any strange fire. That's why the sons of Aaron died. They brought other fire. Incense with other fire. The only fire that burns the incense is God's fire. God's fire. Not our fire, God's fire. And God's fire burns the incense. And the incense is what? Over to what? To make a wonderful, wonderful. They had morning and evening, the priest would put it on. Morning and evening, every time. Just morning and evening, never stop. And for time's sake, it was a sweet incense, a sweet fragrance, a sweet savor. What is it? God, Christ is going to die on the cross. He's going to go and die for our sins. And he's going to go, and you're satisfied with that, God? I am, said God. It is a sweet savor to me. It is the plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, it was the plan. It's wonderful. If we could use a human word, wonderful. Wow. Now, and that saving God, you're going to save us how much? The altar of incense. Altar, put incense, never let the incense stop. It always smells. It always smells. The fire. The fire makes it smell and smell. And the fragrance rises up. Wow. God, because it's a sweet savor to me. It's a sweet savor, a sweet incense. It makes a nice smell. I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased. So God, so you're the, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to please you? He is. Can he be our intercessor, our high priest? Absolutely. Absolutely. God is able, your God, Father, you're going to provide everything because of your Son? That's correct, he said. All that he's going to do, he's going to provide in his Son, because of his Son. It's a sweet incense. Don't let it go out. Why are we pleasing to God? Why are we saved? Why can we have all the benefits? Why do we have them? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it simply in 1,000 different ways. Without me, John 15:5. Without me, what? You can do nothing. Period. How far are we going to get without you? Zero. The fire makes it work. Now, and a fire. Now, I borrowed this, a little one. Jeanette has candles. I have too many candles, so if you like candles, you got jars of candles and everything. I don't know what they're for. We can't eat them or anything, what they're for now. But here's a candle. And the purpose of this candle is it's a smell. Now, can it smell right now? I don't have a good smeller, so some of you guys do. I don't smell. What's it need? Fire. Fire makes it smell. Fire consumes the altar of incense, consumes the incense, and it sends a fragrance up. God, what are you saying to Timothy? Kindle the fire within you. You're living to be a living, not a dead, a living sacrifice. You're already dead in Christ, to be alive, wonderfully alive. And be wonderfully alive, it's what God is, sweet savor. God, that's what God delights in. And the fragrance. How can you have the fragrance of your life without the fire? You've got to have the fire. What's the fire do? It consumes your relationship so that as you're going, you reckon yourself dead and alive unto God. You thank God for his word. His word is like a fire. And you're going to go by his word as much as you understand it. And that's all God asks. And you look to understand. You look to believe it and do it. And we don't talk about it. Well, this is what I feel about this, and I think we should do that, and what's wrong with this over here, and what's wrong with that? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? I don't know. I'm just going to go by the book. What God tells us to do, that's what I do. That's what you do. That's what it's all about. And we do it the best we can, as long as we can do it. God help us. Now, and to say it another way, I couldn't find, I don't have perfume and stuff, and I don't know, but this thing looks like a smelly thing. This little smelly thing, and the, whatever it is. Now, I'm not going to squirt it, but now I'm going to have it. I got my squirter, and I have my squirter in here, and I'm going, and would it make any difference? No, but you know, if I shoot this thing, and I squirt like this, I'll bet you I'd smell. Not bad smell, I hope. And I squirt this on my, I squirt this, and every time I look to squirt it, it gets over me, and I smell like it. I smell. Every time I look to God, I'm believing God, walk in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and every time I squirt, it shows up. Now, you can't see it, but you could smell it. You could smell it. Hang on. You'd smell it. What's that smell? Ah, you see, fragrance. Now, over if you would please, over in your Bible to Ephesians. Then Ephesians, picking up directly, quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, picking up, please, in thought, God, remember Ephesians is giving us a wonderful relationship to God. And so we're moving chapter 5 and verse 1. Be therefore followers, imitators of God, as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. What for? A sweet smelling savor. What makes your life pleasant to God? The fragrance of Christ in your life. It's the person of Christ in us that makes us, God makes God comfortable. A sweet savor, God. A squirt. A fire burning. You gotta have the fire burn. You know what I mean? God's a consuming fire. I'm worried. How am I going to get fire going? Honor the word of God in your heart. And the word of God in your heart will win. And my word is like a fire. It makes me come out, makes God come out to the front and win. So therefore, and what is it going to do, God? Well, the sacrifice, altar of incense, the burnt offering, and all of those, it's the result. We're living the result of Christ, the Lamb of God, dying on Calvary's cross. That's what we're doing. The Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And that's what we're doing. We're letting that fragrance, that relationship that God made possible in his person, in Christ, on the cross, He made it possible for us to be able to have it, to be a sweet savor to God. God's happy with it. The world doesn't care anything about it. In fact, they'd probably, if we wanted to add to Isaiah 5:20, they would say not a good thing. The skunk is sweet, and the perfume is sour, not pleasant. Skunk smells good, perfume smells bad. You know, you turn it all upside down. You don't want to say it. The world system doesn't want that. God does. That's what God did for us in a most wonderful way, to make it a sweet savor. So God, you're going to go and we're the living sacrifice, and the fire consumes our whole being. How much did he save us from head to toe? He saved us and consumes us. We're a living sacrifice. Our words, our thought, our deeds, we fumble along, and that's who we are. And we aren't anything. It isn't about us. It isn't about us. It's about Christ in us. It's about what God has done for us. That's what it's about. Now, and having said that, so the fire consumes. And in the process of consuming us, over, if you would, to 1 John. And I'm trying to make it so you can put it together in your head and heart, so you can do it. I mean, walk in love and sweet smelling savor. Gonna look to God. So here, 1 John chapter 1, you just put it together for yourself. God, what are we gonna do? Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. Sliding down to verse 7. If we walk in the light, remember, walk as dear children. If you and God, loved by God, if we continue walking, David walked with God. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have the fellowship one with another. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we have it. The only way we're going to smell the same, we have to have the same fragrance. Each one of us gets the same. That's why we smell the same. We think the same. We feel the same. We're believers. We're one. That's what we have to be. Well, I don't want to be. Then you can be religious. We got tons of different groups and religions and ways of thinking all over the place. But you only have one Bible. Only have one Bible, and you only have one interpretation, and that's God's. That's God's. The Bible is not of any private interpretation, Peter. You can't do it. It's his. So all I can do and all you can do is get the language and as carefully as we can read basic English and understand it. That's what our Constitution. Just read that little book, Constitution. It says what it says. The right to assemble, worship, the right to bear arms, etc., etc. Read what it says in simple language. That's what to do. Now, so if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we're forgiven. That's right. As we go down the corridor of time, we're forgiven. And we look to God. And God does a wonderful thing for us and in us. So we enjoy God's wonderful grace and by fire. Kindle the fire. And you say, I don't want to be fired up. Well, then you won't know. You won't know. Well, I don't even know how to be fired up. I can't be fired. I get burned. No, you don't understand. My word is like a fire. I am a consuming fire, said God. I am not interested. Do it. Over to Romans 8. Romans in chapter 8. Remember, at the altar of incense, a sweet savor to God. And what does it do? What is our Lord? Think of Hebrews, book of Hebrews 7:25 and all of that. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us to save us to the uttermost, so that he can be a high priest to us, making intercession for us, to be continually enjoying the benefits of God in the person of Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. Without him, it isn't going to work. He's the one to connect us to God in himself, in his saving grace. Therefore, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? 8:34 Romans. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. God, what are you doing up there? God, as it were, at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God is there, filling in. Now, what do you mean he's going to make intercession for us? Verse 26. The Spirit of God, you know, put it together. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, as what patience wait for it. We're waiting. Verse 26. But the Spirit may, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession, same word, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we don't know. I don't know how. God knows. And I want to just trust God and do everything, good common sense, and use your every judgment, trusting God in all of it. And God calls the shots when you're all done. If in doubt, don't. Don't. In doubt, don't. Find rest. Don't be making decisions when you fear, when you doubt, when you're upset. Sit tight. Now, therefore, verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts, God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring forth the life of God in you. Isn't it? Where are you going to get that life? Where are you going to get that power? God. God, you're going to do it. That's right. So I'm looking for God in Christ to be saving. That's God. You're going to have to be saving. You're the one that saves. Who's the one that's going to enable the mind for provision, power, all the different things we need? God, you're going to have to do it. Wow. And, therefore, verse 27, what is the mind of the Spirit of God? Because he maketh intercession for the saints, that's us guys, according to the will of God. Now, how do you do that? You can't do that. I can't do that. I know what it says, and I can believe it, and I read it. That's what I want. I want God to rejoice in the Lord always and pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Quench not the don't squash the fire of God when he tries to do the branding iron. Get in your heart. We shared all that this morning. That's God. I can read them. I can make them happen. God, that's what I want. And that's the Spirit of God's ministry to make that happen. So God isn't depending on us humans to do it. He's depending on us humans to trust him to do it. There's a difference. You don't save. Belief doesn't save you. Sincerity doesn't save you. Your belief allows God to save you. Belief doesn't save anybody. It doesn't make anything true. It either is true or it isn't. It doesn't make it true. So therefore God, the Spirit of God's going to go, and the Lord Jesus Christ is what? How can the Spirit of God's going to outwork the will of God? And the will of God can be outworked because the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible. He's the intercessor. So how is it real? It's real. Jeremiah, is it really real that if God's for you, no one can be against you? That's true. And here in Romans 8, we have it sitting in front of us. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How are you going to go against the will of God, the fire of God? You can't. You can't do it. All you can do is look to God to outwork his wonderful life in a most wonderful way. And God is going to do that in a most wonderful way. Now, in the light of that, over if you would, please, over to Timothy, at least for a touch, in closing on it a little bit. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, remember, we looked. Kindle the fire, verse 6. That is in thee, And in verse 4, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Remember, fear means to shrink, to back down, to be afraid of something and back away, to shrink in fear, to shrink cowardness, to shrink in fear. And our Lord Jesus said it to the on the sea. Remember, we read those things in Matthew and Mark. And they were all afraid because the ship was going to sink and everything's going to go. And the Lord Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? Well, look at it, what happened. Here comes the wave, the ship is going to sink. We're professional fishermen. And man, this is it. God said, what are you afraid for? And to top it off, John 14, 27. In the world, you're going to have all kinds of trouble. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it get all agitated. Verse 27. Don't let it be afraid. There's your word. Don't let it be a coward. Don't let it shrink back. Shrink back. I didn't give you that. No, I didn't. I told you in Philippians 4, I told you, come to God. Don't worry about anything. Stop worrying about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. You don't have to do it. And when you are, talk to God about it so that you give it to God. If I give it to God, I don't have it. On the other hand, God, watch. I'm going to, God, here's my problem. Here's my problem. And whatever. And I have that. And I talk to God, even cry and do whatever. And I do all of that to see if it will help. And I do all of that. And I say, God, help me. And I go to work. I go to school. I go to the dishes. Where is this? In my hand. What didn't I do? I didn't leave it with God. Leave it with God. That's called the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. And that until you do that, this stays in your hand, doesn't it? In your heart, and it doesn't leave. So wherever you are, you're talking, you're trusting God. I'm trusting you, God, but I got it. I didn't give it to God. If I gave it to God, I don't have it. God has the problem. God has the thing. Who's going to work it out? God, you have to work it out in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what you do. You do it all the time. Wow. That's what you do. So therefore, don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. And for just for time's sake, verse 7 Second Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's the word ability. And if you slide down to verse 8, be not thou therefore, said Paul to Timothy, who's about to lose his head and all that stuff, be not thou therefore ashamed of me, be thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power. There's your word. That's the same word up in verse 7. God has given you power. Now, Paul, how are you doing it? By power, by God's ability, God's wonderful ability. Verse 12. For which cause, Paul, I also suffer these things. You have to go through them. Well, why do I have to go through it? Because it's where you're at. Why do I have to be in this, out in the middle of the ocean? Why do I have to have water everywhere? Because you're in the middle of the ocean. What do you want? When you're in the middle of the world, you're in the world. You're in the ocean. What do you want? You want it to disappear? You're in the middle of it. You're in the world, but not of it. I didn't take you out of the world. I left you in the mess. So be of good cheer and proceed. And trust me. You aren't trying to make the world work out. You're trying to make your life work out. And you remember from our morning, there's our apple. Dead apple, because it isn't on the tree. And it's going to rot. Going to die, just like our bodies. Dead in sin, they're going to die, and we're going to bury them. Dust we are, and going back to dust. Wow. That's where we are. Now, God, we get saved. And God's going to do a wonderful work when we get saved. And God comes in and saves us in the most, Timothy, awaken the fire within you. And the fire's going to go, and you're trusting God, looking to God to outwork his wonderful plan for your life. That's what it is in the first place. God's wonderful workmanship in your life to outwork his work, home, school, play, whatever you're going to do, and you're going to do that. And God, what are you doing? I'm going to do what? You're changing your fire. The fire burns up. We're saved just by fire, the consuming fire. And verse 20, wood, hay, and stubble. God, you're working. You're changing my life. So my life is, we're changed from one degree to the next, and we're being changed. And we're going to come out gold. Gold. You're going to come out gold. I'm Chucky. I'm going to go and make you the trying of your faith. We read it this morning in Peter. The trying of your faith produces a change. Comes out gold. That's how it's going to come out. It's not going to come out like this. This is bury, you bury this. It's going to come out like this. That's what you want. Well, no, I know. Well, then you won't get it. But you're going to be saved just by fire anyway. You may not want that. But you're going to get saved anyway. Because Christ saved you. And he doesn't go in and out. And he doesn't do it. Everything he has, how can he save you? Because he died for you. He owned you. You're bought with a price. You may never want to honor him. You don't want any fire going. I want to be working acceptable like Nicodemus. I want to be able to go to my Pharisees and not have them yell at me. I want to be in a Congress. I don't want to have them yell at me. I don't want to have that. And I just heard today someone said, whatever they're going to do. And you got to call all this gender stuff, you know. You got to ask, what are you? Are you an it? What are you? You know, you can't use things like that. Can't even say what we are. We don't even, it's so horrible. You aren't even supposed to know what you are. Now, if we can't figure out whether we're male or female, can you imagine trying to figure out mathematics? If I can't figure out what I am, how can I do anything? It's absurd. And the world, and we're going to get it. And the gay thing and all of that lousy stuff, wow. And in the process, what's going to happen? Sodom and Gomorrah can only last so long. And God will only let this go so long. And as it speeds up like this, that's what I'm interested in. It never has been like this. Never. Wow. So, we didn't get very far. Oh, I'll do that. God has given you a power, ability, love. God loves you. You can't separate from the love of God. And a sound mind. And a sound mind is what? A sound mind is a mind. Sound mind has to do with the word alive, well, sound, safe. Saneness. Saneness. God, how can I think if I don't have a sound mind? So God, you give us a sound mind. Where is the sound mind? In your word. You gave us your word. You honor your word above your name. You're going to honor your word. As I let the word God dominate in my head and heart a little bit, more and more as I'm growing, it's going to dominate. What's it going to do? It guides my thinking. And it helps me. Sanity, the sanity of saintliness, going down the corridor. That's what you're going to do by sound mind. Otherwise, you don't. Everyone, the only sane person is God. Everyone else is insane to some degree. That means they aren't sound mind. They don't have. You got to have a healthy mind. Healthy mind. And you want a healthy mind as much as you can have it, trusting God. And that's what you do. And you trust God. Don't trust your understanding. And I know all these things happen, and they're very difficult. I understand that. But, interestingly, or at least God help us, each one, God, I want to look to you and thank you. I don't know this, I don't know that, but thank you. God, I'm going to thank you. I want to trust you. God, thank you. I can do that. I don't know what, I don't know my name, I don't know where I live, and all of that. But that isn't the issue. If I'm looking to you, God, that's the beginning of overcoming and having a balance. Because, God, then I'm not trusting myself. I'm trusting God with all my heart. That's what I want to do. I remember, it's a silly illustration maybe, but remember when a few years ago, whatever, when my eyes went in God's providence for 3 months, and in the process, I stood up here in the book of Job and did all that book of Job with you, and that's when we did all that. And in the process, when I came to the, Jeanette would walk, that was when she could walk, and we walked, and we walked over, and we walked in, and she would take my arm and lead me across the street. And I had to depend on that because I couldn't see. So I had to depend. She took me across the street and over here, up to the pulpit and whatever. I did that. I had to depend. So thank you, God. Helps me to have a handle on some stability in my unstable situation. Do you understand? So you got a little bit going for you, but you want to exercise it. You want to exercise. You got to put it to work. God's here to do it, but you got to put it to work. And God will do his most wonderful things. And a sound mind. You got to have a sound mind for saneness, for safety, for certainty. It guards me. It guards me. Sound, safe, sane. I need that. That's the word, to have a healthy mind. And God, you want that. Why? Because I'm going to trust you. God, your word, your work, your grace, I want to thank you. I don't know anything else. I just know you. Do I understand a lot? No. But you do, God. So I'm going to trust you. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm just a little old apple. And I'm on my way. I'm on my way to glory. That's where I'm going. And in the meantime, I'm going to smell good. Got it? I'm going to smell good on the way. I'm going to look to God. Say, we don't know. No, I don't know a lot. No. But God does. So that's what we're going to do. You got it? And you can't do it without a fire. You got to have a fire in your heart. Say, then you don't have any fire. How many believers do you know that have a little fire in their heart? A little fire. No, I feel this way, and I feel this way, and this way. That's what they do. There's no fire. No fire. Wow. And without any fire, you won't have any fun. Do you understand? Because we're the only ones that can live in the lousy situation that we do and be thankful and have fun, as it were. Relax, in other words. It's all right. It's all right. It isn't hard. Just have to go through it. That's what you do. And God helps us. Wow, I gotta quit. Appreciate your patience. And make sure you, it may snow, so hope to use your snow blower or something. Get a big broom and work all night keeping the snow away. Anyway, God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us in your grace and kindness. God, what do we know? Next to nothing, if not nothing, when we're all done. So do a wonderful thing in our heads and hearts and homes. And in the light of the weather, in the light of all the different conditions, the conditions of the weather, the conditions of the winter, the conditions of the country, the conditions of the world, God, we're in the middle of them. And God, we're just trying to make a go of it, and work and home and school and figuring everything out, doing the best we can, trusting you every inch of the way. And our God, we're going to thank you that we can look to you and look to your word. God, that's why we read it. That's why we're looking at it. That's why we're resting in it. God, we want to have it work in our head and heart to move us, motivate us, give us understanding hearts as we walk in the light as thou art in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ just cleanses us, keeps us clean, so that, God, you're able to have a wonderful fragrance from just little old us. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.